Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, every couple of years brings with it its certain controversies. Do you let the Philadelphia schools in? Now it's about private, charter, public. Now this happens, for example, when the Philly schools come in and the rest of the state can't win. Now the rest of the state's winning. Chester didn't win the state championship last year. These things all go in cycles. We now bring in the leader of the bitter group. Their king.
I'm proud.
The prince of bitterness.
I'm proud to be the leader of that group.
Dave in Sunbury's been waiting for his turn at 800-795-9565.
Hi, Steve.
Hiya, Dave.
I had a kick about bringing in the king of the bitter group. Well, Kevin was witness to a real ugly basketball game.
You get that every once in a while. You get those games.
He did not want to talk about that.
Every once in a while, you get one of those
games. On the other side of the track. Steve and Bob got to witness a pretty good wrestling meet. And it's from the same high school. The basketball team was up last year and the year before. Now their kids are gone, so it's down a little.
Well, and the other thing, too, is they were playing, the basketball team was playing Loyal Sock, and Loyal Sock has a lot of good talent on that team. That's a team that's not only going to fight for the conference, but also the district, and they're going to make a run in the states too. Ron's done a great job up there.
Oh, and what city are they in?
What? I'm sorry. What are they in?
What city are they in?
Loyal Sock Township actually is what.
It's Williamsport, right?
No. It's actually not Williamsport. It's Loyal Sock Township.
Well.
It's next to Williamsport.
Yeah, and kids from Williamsport go there. I said, so.
No, Dave. No, the only kids from Loyal Sock Township go there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's not a regional school.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
Yeah, that's not a regional school. So,
but my
and it's not a private school either. It just turns out they got lucky with talent. You hit it right.
Well. My junior year was the last year of one state title, 72-73.
Okay.
Because they got sick and tired. The reasoning was like North Allegheny and people like that had these big schools were dominating, and guys like Central and them couldn't even get a bite, so they split them in half.
Right.
And that's where Schick started wrestling, because that Sunbury-Norrie merger. But they started wrestling anybody that was willing to wrestle them. That's why they got so good. So with a guy like Phil Lockoff and that.
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, you when you wrestle and when you play quality opponents, you become a better team. No question.
They wrestled St. Anne's of Ohio, was the number one team in the country in a dual meet.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat them 50-4 because they sent their B team.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll be frank with you.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have wrestled them.
Well, the only reason they wrestled them though was it was a dual meet tournament, so that's the only reason.
So what? St. Anne shouldn't have sent a team.
Well,
out
of state.
Okay, you're in Ohio. I don't care if they sent the C team. Okay, unless you're a border town, you shouldn't be playing out of state. Unless you're a border town, you should not be playing any time out of state.
Okay. Good point.
I mean, as simple as that. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't. ESPN's when LeBron James hit it hot in Akron.
Yeah.
was televising his games.
Yep.
I thought that. I'm sorry, but that's wrong. And they were playing in tournaments, Las Vegas, Myrtle Beach, things like that. It's like, what the heck are you doing? You're a high school. Be a high school.
And there was a couple of quality kids that, for all intents and purposes, got knocked out of a scholarship to a good school because of that.
Oh, sure.
Because the way they made all that goo-goo over him, and some good ball players got wind up sent it back.
You know, and I don't agree with it. And I don't agree with high school teams playing a game out of state, and State College has done it. State College has played in Ohio. They played in New York. New York City. They played in West Virginia. I think they played a game in Maryland. I sit there and go, hey, you're State College area high school, okay? Take a compass from the center of the state, and that's who you play. All right, just play people in your area. Don't start going all over the place and making it like it's a traveling road show. I think it's dead wrong.
No, I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. I mean, that bothers me a lot when they do. They do say to me, well, we're looking for Quad A competition. You got enough Quad A competition in the state. Just go find it. You got to go to Erie to do it, fine. I don't care. They used to play McDowell and Cathedral Prep.
Now, what's the difference whether you travel to Erie or you travel to Ohio?
You're in state.
No. I mean, if you're going to travel to Ohio, why not just travel to Erie and stay in state? That was the point I was trying to make.
Yeah, exactly. You know, keep it unless you're a border town. And I grew up in a border town, and we only played one game over in Massachusetts. Only one. Now, before I went to school there, they were in a league that included mostly Massachusetts schools, a couple Connecticut schools, and that, because we're right on the border. We're like 3 miles from Massachusetts. But we actually played all Connecticut schools my junior and senior year, except for one Massachusetts team. We played Cathedral out of Springfield. Well, that's not true. We played Springfield Tech, too. But if you're a border school, you should be allowed to go over the border, whatever, and play, because you're trying to keep it, you know, within the realm of. I'm just not in favor of, hey, let's all go and we're going to take the team to whatever. You're a high school. Okay? You're a high school. You want to travel? Get a college. Go to college. Yeah, I'm not for that. I think that takes it too far. Takes it too far. That's just always been my opinion. I know we started out with public versus private schools here. I think the difference between a public school, Kevin, and a private school is I think a public school, because now if there's any aid given out, okay, then they shouldn't be allowed to compete.
Yeah, that's a deal breaker there to me.
Okay, exactly. But if a parent is willing to pay the tuition to that school, remember, they still end up paying taxes in their own district anyway. They're still paying taxes.
Oh, absolutely. And this is, and my comments are not a debate about the quality of education that you're getting. It's just along the sports window of it.
Yeah, but that's all. Yeah, but I think that's all people ever look at. It's a far greater deal than that. If the parent wants to send their child there, and they can pay for it, then so be it. If they don't want to, if they think that they're going to get a better opportunity either in sports or in education, and they want to send them there, but they can afford to do it, then fine. But if there's aid involved, and you have a public school there. Okay, anybody that has any aid or any way of paying for it outside of the parent, no. Because you already have public schools that we're all paying for. That's how I feel about it.
And I know there's some people that feel as though that happens, although I cannot come up with one incident where it's been proven or the PIAA has had to step in on it. So I can't say that ever happened.
I can't speak to that at all. I just can't speak to it. I just know that I look at the roster of kids for Penn State, right? And it's not dotted with private schools.
I don't know, maybe it's just the way I look at it, but I see a lot of private schools in tournaments.
I think
their programs that much better?
I think you're seeing a recent trend.
Okay.
That will dissipate. Just like when Philadelphia got, Philadelphia's going to dominate basketball. No, they really, no. Where's Philadelphia dominated the basketball part?
Well, the question comes out when you start talking about the Philadelphia schools joining. That's when a lot of the discussion really comes out.
Right, but you know what? Things go in cycles. Somebody mentioned, one of our callers mentioned North Allegheny.
Right.
North Allegheny was, oh my goodness, powerhouse. Are they a powerhouse now? They're still good. But the entire WPIAL is down.
Actually, it was West Allegheny this year, not North.
Yeah, not North, but West Allegheny did well this year. State College has become good in most sports on the Quad A level. But this year is not a great year for them. Last couple of years haven't been great years for them.
But when you look at the Quad A right now, Clearfield has been a team that's been in the tournament the last couple of years.
They're triple.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say quad. I meant to say triple A. Clearfield has been in the tournament the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Archbishop Wood has been a team that has been very dominant in the East.
No doubt.
Berwick is making their first appearance in I don't know how long. Or a reappearance over the last couple of years, I should say, not their first appearance. Bethlehem Catholic's another one that makes regular appearances.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
You know, and that's just, and I'm just looking at the Eastern teams. So, I don't know. It just seems to me, and maybe I am looking at this wrong, but it just seems to me there's an awful lot of these teams making the Final Four every year.
Here's something. One of our callers brought up a really, really good point.
Okay.
Was it Robert? I think it was Robert. I want to follow up on that. I'm a boarder school, Bethlehem Catholic, right? Okay. I should not be able to, in a PIAA playoff game, state playoff game, I should not be able to play a guy that doesn't have residency in the state.
Oh, you mean a private school that would be able to draw from another state?
Yes.
They should not be able to play in the tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, that's unless an interesting.
Unless they have residency in the state. Okay? In other words, if I happen to be what you talk about, Allentown Central Catholic,
right?
Somebody they got like 8 kids from New Jersey. When it came time, you know, playing the regular season, they're part of the school, but it came to the state tournament, you must have state residency.
Now, on a much lighter note, one of the things that I think the PIAA needs to fix is teams like Mannheim Central coming out of getting into the Western bracket and having to come out that way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That makes no sense. And Clearfield.
Yeah.
Clearfield having to come out of the East.
Yeah. I don't like how they've done that. I remember one year, Lower Merion had to travel to Baldy Galarium over here in Wingate to play Erie. I think it was Erie McDowell.
Right.
For the right to then lose to Chester in the state championship game.
Now I realize that the reason that Clearfield had to... this year Clearfield actually hosted the inter-district tournament between district 4 and the 5-6-8-9 deal and all that stuff, but Clearfield actually, the district actually hosts that Jersey Shore game at Dubois.
Right.
Now, a couple of years ago, Clearfield had to come to Shamokin, I believe, twice to play a game and come out of the East. They're coming out of the East again this year as well.
Right.
To me, Clearfield should be a Western team.
Yes, they should be. I mean, the dividing line should be right where I live.
And the reason for that is because District 4 only has 4 teams in AAA. So, and I think, is Clearfield District 6? No.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're 6. They only had Bradford and Clearfield this year.
Right.
So they had to merge with 5, 8, and 9 as well.
But my point is when it comes to a regional school, okay, or you know, or a private school. Anybody who competes for the state championship has to be a state resident.
I that seems a more than reasonable rule request.
I mean, now I think that takes away a little bit of Robert's argument and your argument. Because when he brought up the, you know, they can go to the New Jersey thing, I thought, well, you know what? That's unfair, and that makes complete sense to me. I think what happens in private schools versus public schools is your ability to stay near the top is greater. You're not as married as much to... We don't have the most athletic kids in the world at the age of 6, and they didn't become great athletes at 18. That live in town. And every once in a while, I get a group of kids that are great athletes that come together, come up together, and play. It's one of the reasons State College, you know, in Little League, for example, made it to the Mid-Atlantic Final twice. They hit it right two different times. Then hit it wrong by facing Danny Almonte. Then, you know, later on, a lot of those kids played football and so forth, and they were part of the core group that got to the state championship game in football. Well, you know, State College is just it's a huge school district, but it was the same core group of kids. So, we've had a lively conversation, but Kevin's rant, though, started with North Catholic going for 2.
Oh, no. I did not rant about that. I gave them props for going for 2. That's gutsy in a state championship game. That's putting it on the line. That's get it in and you win the game instead of kicking it and going to double overtime. I think that was a gutsy call, and it paid off, and a heck of a way to win a state championship. On the other side, for Old Forge, it was a heck of a way to lose a state championship.
Hard. That's a hard way to lose. That's hard.
Especially when you had and unfortunately, they had a chance to win it with about a 30-yard field goal with about 8 seconds to go. That's tough.
Feel for that kid. You know, feel for that kid. Really do. You know. It's the hard. That's one of the hard things about the state championship thing. It's like most teams in the state end with a loss. You know what's really, you know, really the best time for all of them, though? When they all have a chance, and that's in August.
You know what Tim Forrest said last year as the district basketball tournament started? I don't think it was last year. I think it was a couple of years ago. We talked about, you know, how it's always do or die when district tournament time comes around. He goes, you know what?
Right,
this time of year, there's only 4 teams that are really happy. And those are the ones that end up not losing all the way through. It's absolutely right.
Exactly. Well, it's like in college basketball. Only 2 teams end the season with a win.
Right. And everybody else ends their season on a sour note.
Well, speaking of sour, I'll come back with Kevin in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Torrent GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new, Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Last-minute holiday shopping has never been easier than when you shop your local Kohl's Hardware Store. Check out all the great gift-giving ideas you'll find in the Kohl's Last Minute Gifts Flyer.
Last minute is no problem at Kohl's Hardware. Get all of your last-minute Duracell batteries. Choose from large pack quantities of AA, AAA, D, and 9-volt on sale for $9.99 a pack.
Last minute stocking stuffers are quick and easy at Kohl's Hardware. Get a 3-piece vice grip plier set for just $17.99 or a 7-piece set of wrenches and pliers for just $19.97.
And don't forget your pets. Kohl's Hardware has a large corduroy pet bed for just $9.97. Now that's a great last-minute gift.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Last-minute holiday shopping has never been easier than when you shop at your local Kohl's Hardware store. We're close, convenient, and saving you money in your hometown. Like us on Facebook.
Come on home to Kohl's.
Kohl's Hardware.
Come on home to Kohl's. Come on home to Kohl's.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. It's back to Rec Hall tomorrow. Kevin's already gone on this incredible rant today in which he verbally destroyed private high schools. I mean, it was really...
Did you listen to a different first hour and a half of the program than I did?
I found some of the rhetoric to be frightening, and so did Homeland Security.
Sometimes I think you listen to, in your headphones, it's a different show.
No, some of the topics you go off on are making a different show, that's for sure.
I'm passionate.
Yes, you are. Today's show, look, it's going to snow tomorrow. I mean, did you hear Kevin? He canceled Santa, breakfast, and secrets all in one, like cancellation thing.
Gone.
What the heck was going on? I mean, what were you thinking that right before the news?
I mean, sorry,
you
canceled. I had to read
you
it.
You postponed Santa. I mean, he's supposed to thrive in this.
It's not that
you
I canceled Santa. I mean, the guy's busy.
You postponed him. You postponed him.
He didn't want to have to be delayed in the snow.
Okay, you postponed secrets, and you told me I can't have breakfast tomorrow. Did I hear it wrong?
You might want to go to WKOK.com and click WinterNet and clarify that. People all across the Susquehanna Valley are now completely confused. Thank you, Stephen.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Stock up tonight for the weekend. Snacks, beverages, pickle bar, fresh, hot, roasted peanuts. Mmm. And the greatest selection of beverages, domestic beers, you know, selection of beers across the board. You know, go to Brewers Outlet tonight. Stock up for the weekend. Enjoy. You may be shut in for a little bit on Saturday night, maybe even Sunday morning. And, you know, going to watch some NFL football, Army-Navy game coming up, some college hoop. You know, Kevin will be watching Troy tape.
And North Catholic wins the single A football championship
much to your chagrin. That's what started this entire deal off, is you railed on North Catholic.
But I love how they did it. I mean, it was a great game.
It was ugly commentary on your part.
It was a great game. 7-7 goes to overtime after an Old Forge field goal miss, and North Catholic wins it on a 2-point conversion in the first overtime, 15-14, their first PIAA class single A championship.
Filled with vitriol. Ooh, boy, I was trying to calm the masses down, tell them it's okay, just go to school, be good. All right. And, of course, I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin doesn't get the Rec Hall thing. Okay. This is what they want to accomplish with Rec Hall. Rec Hall, first of all, in terms of playing a game there, I've had people say they should play all their games there, or 6 or 7 games. Okay, let's now tune to the big picture. As much as it has an effect on the game having fans so close to the court, you have to think the way a 16 and 17 year old thinks. because that's who you're recruiting. You can't bring a 16 or a 17-year-old into rec hall and go, here it is. And they go, really? Yeah. Guess what? You're now behind the eight ball in recruiting. Now you're saying as fans, oh, that can't be. Hear me out. When they watch TV now, these are basketball kids now. They see LeBron James playing at American Airlines Arena. They see Dirk Nowitzki play. They see Staples Center where Kobe Bryant plays. This is what they see. Conseco Fieldhouse and so forth. When they go recruiting, they go to the Schottenstein Center in Columbus. They go to Breslin Center at Michigan State. They go to the Comcast Center at Maryland. Okay? This is where they go. Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. Dean Dome, Rupp Arena. Guess what all of those arenas look like? They all look like where the Heat play. Now, you may not be enamored with the Jordan Center, and there's no doubt the building is incredibly flawed as a basketball building, which we've talked about before. But when you bring a recruit in, when you bring them in on a recruiting weekend, they look around and go, hey, it looks like everybody else's. It looks like the Heat Arena.
I get right. The nostalgia part, though, of going back to Rec Hall, but I guess I guess the thing that I don't know, and
they're trying to energize the fan base. That's what they're trying to do.
Okay, because I was going to say, I mean, I'm not big on Penn State basketball history, so I want to preface it by saying that, which is great because I have you here. That is
no, nobody is.
Is there? No, it's not that. But is there? Is there a big moment or so that you know that you can reflect upon in going back at Rec Hall? I mean, was there a magic moment?
Look, yeah, that's the unfortunate part as far as I'm concerned. All right, what most people will tell you that their most memorable game, not memorable. There's a different, you know, memorable is in terms of fondness, is the Indiana game where they lost in double overtime. And that's always bothered me. And I've told fans that. I said, I'm sorry. I said, Duke doesn't sit there and go, remember that night North Carolina beat us double overtime at Cameron?
Yeah, that's true.
Winning programs remember winning moments. My number one moment athletically in Rec Hall, Atlantic 10 Tournament Championship. Automatic bid NCAA 1991. That team's being honored tomorrow. That's my number one. Beating Purdue, Glenn Robinson, 7th-ranked team of the country, 1994. Okay? They got a big win, down 20, 14 minutes ago, Rally beat Miami NIT. I mean, those are, like, the big moments where you walk out and you won, and they got a big win over West Virginia one year, a big win over St. Joe's one year. I mean, those are the moments, to me, those are the moments that signify what you have. Losing a double overtime to the number one team in the country, in which you were thoroughly and completely ripped off, yes, there's no doubt that's a memorable night. But that night stunk. Okay? You don't hear the people at Kentucky go, remember the night Tennessee came in and they beat us in double overtime in that bad call? Okay? If you want to be a winning program, project winning memories. I went home that night disgusted. People have always asked me, why didn't that game make your top 10? And I'll be honest with you, in terms of announcing that game, I got a job offer out of that game. So I must have impressed somebody that night. I got a job offer out of it. But that's why I've never put it in my top 10 of anything. They lost. Now, for me, Rec Hall brings with it different memories besides athletics. They bring with it four very personal memories for me. First one is the first Penn State basketball game I ever announced. It was in college at the time. It was 1978. In fact, it's 35 years ago on this Monday coming up. It was December 16th, 78. And my father had his own sheet metal fabrication business. I worked there in the summers and during every term break all the time. Worked off blueprints, made parts, welded, everything. My father was a very quiet man. Highly intelligent, very quiet man. And we talked about college and what to major in and so forth. But in the end, I wanted to be a broadcaster. And I know my father wanted me to take over his business. But he never articulated that because he wanted me to follow my own dream. He followed his own thing. He wanted me to do it. So I finally got a chance to announce my first Penn State basketball game. He and his friend Harold Dania drove 700 miles round trip, and he sat in the corner of Rec Hall that night with a transistor radio just to hear me do the game. He drove 350 miles down and 350 miles back, and he sat in the corner of Rec Hall and listened to me do that game because it was my first Penn State basketball game. I'd done games the year before for in the Wilkes-Barre campus. But he did that. Second time, second memory for me, I graduated, and my graduation ceremony was in Rec Hall. And my grandmother, who passed away at the age of 102 in 2009, in fact, she passed away the morning of the NIT semifinal game with Notre Dame when I was in New York, came all the way down from Lexington, Massachusetts, which is just outside of Boston. She went 450 miles down, 900 miles round trip to be at my graduation in Rec Hall because I was the first person in her family to graduate from college. And then in 1981, the day of the infamous, or the famous, Penn State 48-14 win over Pitt, it was my first game on the Penn State Sports Network. I worked with Henry Mayall that day. Because Fran Fischer couldn't do the game. And Penn State beat Bloomsburg 49-48. That was my first game in the network. And then my fourth memory is from a year and a half ago when they dedicated the broadcast center, which is in Rec Hall. And what's significant to me about that is that's the last time my mother was in State College. And it's been a year this week since she passed away. That's what Rec Hall means to me. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Chevy Equinox Limited, the most affordable crossover, just $22,996. 2010 Ford Explorer XLT, new tires, new brake linings, just $21,997. A Pontiac Torrent GXP, four-wheel drive, peace of mind, $15,554. 2011 Hyundai Sonata Limited, fully serviced, $17,498. And a sporty, like new Subaru Impreza sedan, under 8,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $27,495. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
So Kevin's telling me during the break that he has the entire weekend off and he wants to go hunting. And I guess he told me that every deer that runs by, he pictures my face.
That's not true. No, I mean, deer runs by.
That's awful. Well, that's because they're clever like you-know-who.
I got a funny feeling they're not going to be moving too much over the next 12 hours with 6 to 10 inches of snow coming our way.
The amounts in this storm have dramatically increased over the last 36 hours. I mean, the amounts I've seen here, at least in the State College area, have gone from 2.1 to
3.1 to 4.4 to 7.9. I'm no expert. That sounds like increases.
7.9.
Well, I'm going.
It's a very specific amount of snow, though, isn't it?
Well, I get AccuWeather Premium.
Right. So that's right. But that's just a specific amount. I just thought it was interesting.
Right. I mean, they label it here as in general as 4 to 8 inches. That's what they label it in general.
Now, the further north you go, further north and probably even the further east, it actually could be in upwards of the higher end of the 6 to 10, the more the 10 side.
Wow. Looks like we're going to have a white Christmas.
Well, I don't know, because I saw a temperature warm up and then some rain. So
not here. Not here. I see a little bit of a warm up. Let's see. Tuesday, I see 37. I go 30, 26, 37 on Tuesday, 30, 24, then 36. You're right about 40 on Saturday, 35 on Sunday, and then after that into the teens.
Yeah, it gets really cold then right around Christmas.
Christmas week goes into the teens. But they're, getting to 40 and going to melt it. Be careful out there. Be careful out there. We'll keep you up to date on all the closings and cancellations. In fact, don't forget to go online to WKOK.com. Makes a big difference. It makes it easier for you. Use your computer. Go to WKOK.com.
Yeah, we'll have that updated all weekend.
Yep, we'll have some poor sucker in there doing something. I'm just kidding. Doing something. Man, but that's not going to keep Santa from being away tonight, kids. Santa's on tonight from 6 to 7.
That is correct.
I think that is one of the more marvelous things I've heard I'm heading into my third year here on the station. And, and people say that you look like you've dramatically aged.
Fine. Steve's the one.
But that is, to me, is one of the more marvelous things I've ever heard. Is that here it is, 2013, heading into 2014. And in this, the station's 80th year, we talk about happy 80th WKOK, that, we've increased our local programming with what Mark Lawrence does and what I do and what Kevin does. The news commitment with Sarah, Allie, Cody do an awesome job. And then we have Santa on every night, including Christmas Eve, 5 nights a week. And the fact that we've done it 80 years and still... And it's one of the best things. It would be a great idea today, let alone 1933. I just think that is so neat. Because we're in a world right now where it's a lot of syndicated programming, homogenized and so forth. And with the Needy Family Fund, where our goal is $75,000 this year, and I know we're up over 30,000 now, right, Kevin?
I have to look. I just saw an update today. Hang on.
Okay. I believe we're up over 30,000
now.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think I just the update came today in the Needy Family Fund. And the number right now is
$50,000.
$50,600. Exactly.
So now we're more than two-thirds to our goal. More than two-thirds to our goal. And a station that goes out and does the Needy Family Fund, a station that goes out and has Santa Claus on 5 nights a week, understands its roots. And they understand how radio can really be important in people's lives. We're proud of it, I can tell you that. Extremely. Hey, Brewers Outlet. Hey, kids. Stock up tonight. Reagan Street in Sunbury. Beverages. Snacks. Okay, plenty of beer selections, fresh hot roasted peanuts, pickle bar. And don't forget, Sunbury Motors and Sunbury Motors Kia. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Emil's Wharf. They sponsor the studio. Put a bow on one this Christmas. Oh, in fact, my daughter is getting a car tonight, so we get it.